This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We did a series last year called York and Fig. Our wealth and poverty team wanted to see what happens when a working class neighborhood, in this case, Highland Park here in Los Angeles, what happens when it changes? What happens when gentrification comes to town? When you talk to economists and sociologists, they'll tell you that one of the hardest things to figure out is what happens to the people who get displaced when a neighborhood changes like Highland Park has been changing. So today, the story of one particular building in Highland Park. It's a residential hotel for low-income men up on the top floor, with mom-and-pop vendors selling discounted goods downstairs. When we told you about this building last fall, we were with a real estate agent who was looking in the windows, imagining what that building could be.
This could be broken up into like two or three little cute boutiques, and that's probably going to happen soon.
Here's Marketplace's Chrissy Clark with what did happen.
Before I get to what happened to the building itself, let me first tell you a little bit more about the people inside it, because there was way more to this building than what you could see when you peered in through the dusty windows or read the real estate brochure about it being a prime mixed-use opportunity. This building was filled with history and stories and all these characters.
Okay, I have to mention this guy. That was Crazy Ralph.
Crazy Ralph.
Crazy Ralph. And then you got Crazy Tony out there, and right in the room right across from me, Rodney, the Kool-Aid guy. They always drank Kool-Aid, you know?
John Piper, the guy rattling off that list, he was also a resident of this building for almost a decade. Also a character. He's a former welder, former Air Force guy, former heavy metal drummer at the Excalibur in Las Vegas. John is in his 50s, disabled, lost most of the movement in his right hand after he collapsed during a pulmonary embolism. That was around the time he moved into this building.
It's such a good place to live for guys. And we can't help but like the place, you know. I mean, we got good rent, all utilities paid. I mean, I was able to open my window, look out right there on Figueroa. I could watch the parades. I could see them out the window and watch Santa Claus go by. What's not to really like about that?
There were definitely some things not to like about the place, though, John says. It was where people without a lot of other options came to live. There was an only half-joking joke around the building that once you moved in,
you leave in a bag.
During the years that John lived there, he says one resident died of a gunshot wound, another guy hanged himself, another died of lung cancer. But John says there was also this accidental, if slightly chaotic, community that formed among people on the edge who looked out for each other. He used to take one of his neighbors, who had a brain injury, to a food pantry at a local church once a month.
Way back when I had first moved in there, and I was broke and trying to figure out how I was going to eat, you know. Him and I used to make sure that we'd circle that date on the calendar, and we'd go down there and get groceries on that Thursday, you know what I mean? Because he needed somebody to help him out, you know.
Sometimes all the tenants would have barbecues on the roof together, watch fireworks on the 4th of July.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good, and you?
I'm good.
I first visited this building last fall, around the time that realtor was scoping it out for a couple of potential cute boutiques. A bunch of the tenants, including John Piper, were shooting the breeze downstairs. I asked them if I could pick their brain about the building.
He's the only one with a brain.
They told me the attention the building was getting was not lost on them. What might happen if the place got sold was actually a big topic of conversation. Carlos Valdez, who ran a little computer repair shop in the building, argued that a new owner could mean upgrades to the building, and that would be good for his business.
If you had landlords that would care about their building and go, hey, look, we got to improve for our tenants, I'm pro for it.
At this point, another guy, one of the other residential hotel tenants, Frank Valenzuela, interrupted. He said, no way. If this building gets bought,
you know, everyone would get evicted and the building would be refurbished into something else. Whoever buys it is just going to want to, okay, all the tenants out. Then we decide what's the best thing to do with it that's going to earn us back our investment. And then they're going to go with that. And I really doubt it's renting little rooms to crazy people. Never mind.
John Piper, the disabled drummer, was listening to them debate all this. And I asked him,
so if they sold the building, what would happen to you?
I'd probably go live with my brother's house in Redondo Beach or something. Probably be good for me.
That was almost a year ago. Since then, the building has been sold for $3.6 million. And John Piper did not end up in Redondo Beach.
doing on this hot day?
Oh my gosh, it is a hot day.
Instead, he ended up in Van Nuys, another working-class neighborhood on the outskirts of Los Angeles, in this two-bedroom apartment that he shares with two other people.
And my room's a wreck still.
He pays $100 more than the unit he had to himself in Highland Park. It's the cheapest thing he could find. The last few months have been a scramble, John tells me. He says he was informed back in February, right after his birthday, that the residential hotel he lived in had been sold. He says the building manager and the new property manager told him the new owners were planning on renovating the building, maybe turning it into offices.
And everybody's going to need to move. I said, really? Everybody? Me and everybody that lives up here and, like, this whole swap mall and everybody, you mean? He goes, yeah. And I was like, wow. That really sucks.
When he finally found this new apartment in Van Nuys...
I didn't really want to move all the way out here.
It's about a 45-minute drive from his old neighborhood, which John says can feel isolating.
That's where I had all my connections and everything was right there, you know, in Highland Park. And I kind of miss living over there because it's now for me to do anything, I got to go drive all the way back over there.
The silver lining, he says, is he got some money from the building owners and he used some of it to buy a car, which he needs now since his new place is so far away. The money came out of a series of negotiations with the new owners, John says.
They said, you have to move and here's $8,000. And I said, no, thank you. Okay. So then they raised it to 10. And I said, nope, sorry. That's not the law. And I'm a true blue person, okay? I know what I'm entitled to. I've looked it up. I've found out. I know I got all the proof I need that if I had to go to court, this is the amount of money that I will get.
The amount John had in his head was a little over $19,000. That's how much a disabled person who's lived in a unit for more than 3 years is entitled to under Los Angeles rent control laws. John figured rather than fight for that money in court and have to hire a lawyer, he'd agree to less. He got $14,000. Between all the moving costs, staying in a hotel while he found a new, more expensive place, and buying a car, most of the money's already gone.
The money definitely helped, but look what it's taken me. Now I'm down to $1,500 now, you know?
But through all this, there's something that John did not know. Residential hotel units, like the one he lived in, have special protections in L.A. Landlords have to get city approval in order to convert them into an office building or anything else. Approvals his new property owners had not applied for yet. And in fact, John did not have to leave his apartment at all. He could have told the owners he wanted to stay. I explained this to John.
Did you know that?
No. Yeah, but they would have raised our rent astronomically.
I don't think they could, because it was rent controlled.
Yeah, because it was rent controlled. Yeah, I never even knew that they said I could have stayed. They never even mentioned it.
Tenants, they often don't know their rights.
Rafael Bostic is a housing expert and professor of public policy at USC. He says these kinds of negotiations happen all the time.
Most of these folks are not skilled, seasoned negotiators, whereas the developer is going to have a team of folks who this is what they do. So there definitely is the possibility for a tenant to agree to a worse deal than they might have otherwise been able to get.
I tracked down the new owner of the building, Tom Myich. He owns a real estate investment and development company in Los Angeles. He says he wasn't involved himself in the negotiation with John Piper. But in general, he says, it's up to tenants to know their own rights.
I'm not, you know, and this is like a derogatory word, but like I'm not their babysitter and I'm not their parent.
Tom says some of the residential hotel tenants didn't pay rent or were using or dealing drugs on the property. He told me he paid tenants to leave the property because he cares about the neighborhood. He wanted to clean it up.
Can I support everyone's challenge? Absolutely not. And I never can. But I very much care about this part of town. And it's because I care that we made the investment so that it isn't an area where people are overdosing in our driveway, which happened. Like, we're going to prevent that.
Do you know where folks went, the people who did move out?
I know where one went. One went to Highland Park with his sister somewhere. But other than that one, I don't.
Do you wonder?
I don't.
Here's as complete a list as I could come up with of where people did end up. One guy moved in with his mom and used the buyout money he got to start school as a medical technician. Another took his money and bought a house out by the Salton Sea. and another is actually working for the new building owners. And of course, John Piper, the ex-drummer, lives with a bunch of roommates far away from his old stomping grounds in Highland Park.
My life is okay, but I'm not as happy as I was there.
As for Crazy Ralph and Crazy Tony and all the other guys, John says he doesn't know. But when I walked through the halls of the building a few weeks ago with the new owner, as workers were clearing out all the units, I saw something.
What's this?
I have no idea. Notes left from tenants, you see that a lot?
There were little green post-it notes that someone had stuck on the doors to some of the rooms, with names of old tenants and the letters RIP, Rest in Peace. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.